Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, as we all know, things in our world today are far from business as usual. The COVID-19 pandemic, protests in the streets, and cries of racial injustice have taken center stage. And that's why Pastor Rick has decided to set aside our regular programming in order to share his heart regarding these extremely critical issues. He'll be taking us through the small but mighty book of James in a series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't. In this teaching, Rick gives you the principles you need to live through a pandemic. Please be sure to invite a friend or loved one to listen along with you today as we continue with our series. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get the all-new Silver Scripture Box with a set of 52 new Bible verse memorization cards based on this series. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 for more information. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called A Faith That Isn't Troubled by Troubles.
Thank you for tuning in to this broadcast. I'm going to be teaching you between now and whenever this COVID-19 crisis ends. Now, as I thought about what we should cover during this COVID-19 crisis, I immediately thought of the book of James. The book of James is a very small book near the end of the New Testament, but it is so practical and it is so helpful. And I call this book A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't. And I thought if anything is needed right now is we need a faith that works when life doesn't, because it's not working very well right now. And so today, this week, we're going to begin a journey together that's going to encourage you through this crisis. And I don't want you to miss any of these messages, because the book of James actually covers 14 major building blocks of life, 14 key issues of life, 14 areas that every single one of you have already had to deal with in your life and you're going to have to deal with in the future. For instance, in chapter one of James, let me just give you a little overview of the book. It's only five chapters. Chapter one, it first talks about difficulties, and we're going to talk about that today. What is God's purpose for your problems? Then it talks about choices. How do you make up your mind? How do you know when to stay, when to go? How do you know what to do? How do you make decisions? And then it talks about temptation. And we'll look at how do you defeat the common temptations in your life that seem to keep causing you to fail. And then it talks about guidance. And it talks about how we can be blessed by the Bible, not just read it, but be blessed by it. That's all in chapter one. And we'll look at those in the weeks ahead. Chapter two, it talks about relationships. We're going to look at how do you treat people right? And with people having to stay home, all in the family together, kids and moms and dads, and people are going to get on each other's nerves. That's going to be an important message on relationships. Then it talks about faith. How do you really trust God when you don't feel like it and when things are going the wrong direction? That's all in chapter two. Chapter three, we're going to talk about conversations. The power of conversation. And there's one of the most important passages in the Bible on how do you manage your mouth. That's important whether we're in a crisis or not. And then it talks about friendship. And it gives us very practical information on how do you build wise friendships and avoid unwise friendships. That's chapter three. Chapter four is on conflict. And in chapter four, we talk about how do you avoid arguments. And that'll be real helpful. As tensions rise and frustrations grow, as people are out of work, how do you avoid arguments? And then it talks about judging others. How do you quit playing God? That would cause a lot of peace in our lives if we could do that. And then it talks about the future. How do you plan for the future? That's all in chapter four. Now, in the last chapter, chapter five, I told you there are five chapters in James, we're going to talk about money. It talks about how to be wise with your wealth. And then we're going to look at patience. What do you do when you're waiting on God. The most difficult room to sit in is in the waiting room when you're in a hurry and God's not. And then we're going to look at prayer, which is the last message we'll look at. How do you pray about your problems? The Bible says there's a way to pray and get answers, and there's a way to not pray. And we're going to be looking at that. Now, today, we're just going to look at the first six verses of the book of James. James chapter 1, the first six verses. And the Bible says this when it talks about how having to deal with your problems. First, James 1:1 says this, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Now, let me just pause here for a minute and say, this is the most understated introduction of any book in the Bible. Because you know who James was? He was the half-brother of Jesus. What do you mean by that? It means he was Mary and Joseph's son. Jesus was only Mary's son. He wasn't Joseph's son because God was the father of Jesus. But the Bible tells us that Mary and Joseph had many children later on and even gives us their names. James was not a Christian. He was not a follower of Christ. He didn't believe his half-brother was the Messiah during Jesus' entire ministry. He was a skeptic. And you'd figure that. Younger brother, not believing in an older brother, well, that would be pretty plain. What made James a believer in Jesus Christ? The resurrection. When Jesus came back from death and walked around for another 40 days and James saw him, he became a believer and later became the leader at the Church of Jerusalem. So if anybody had a right to drop names, it's this guy. He could have said, James, the guy who grew up with Jesus. James, the half-brother of Jesus. James, Jesus' best friend growing up. Those kind of things. But he doesn't. He simply says, James, a servant of God. He doesn't pull rank. He doesn't promote his pedigree. But then in verse 2, he starts getting into this very first issue of God's purpose in your problems. Let me read it to you. He says, when all kinds of trials crowd into your lives, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. But let that process go on until that endurance is fully developed, and you will become a person of mature character and integrity with no weak spots. That's the Phillips translation of James chapter 1, verses 2 to 6. Now, he says, when all kinds of trials come into your life and they crowd into your life, he said, don't resent them as intruders. Welcome them as friends. He says, you got problems? Be happy. You got problems? Rejoice. You got problems? Smile. Now, I know what you're thinking. You go, are you kidding me? Why should I be happy about COVID-19? Why should I welcome these trials in my life? How is that possible? The key to this entire attitude of maintaining a positive attitude in the middle of a crisis is the word realize. It's the word realize. He said, when all these kinds of trials crowd into your lives, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends and realize they come to test your faith. And then he goes on and what it's going to produce in their lives. He says, your success in handling these problems will be determined by your understanding, and by your attitude toward those problems. It's what you realize. It's what you know. Now, the first thing in this passage I want you to realize is that God gives us four reminders about problems. You might want to write these down. Four reminders about problems in your life, which include the crisis we're going through right now. Number one, he says, first, problems are inevitable. Problems are inevitable. Now, well, how does he say that? He says, when all kinds of trials come. He doesn't say if all kinds of trials come. He says when. You can count on it. This is not heaven where everything is perfect. This is earth where everything is broken. And he's saying, you will have problems. You will have difficulties. You can count on it. You can buy stock in it. Now, this is not something that James says alone. All through the Bible, it says it. Jesus said, in the world, you will have trials and temptations, and you will have tribulation. He said, you're going to have problems in life. So why are we surprised when we have problems? Peter says, don't be surprised when you go through fiery trials. So don't act like it's something new. Everybody goes through hard times. Life is difficult. This is not heaven. This is earth. Nobody's immune. Nobody's isolated. Nobody's insulated. Nobody is exempt. He says, you're going to have problems because they are inevitable. You know, I remember one time when I was in college, many years ago, I was going through some really difficult times. And I started praying. I said, God, give me patience. And instead of the trials getting better, they got worse. And then I said, God, I really need patience. And the problems got more worse. And then I said, God, I really need patience. And they got even more worse. What was going on? Well, finally, I realized after about 6 months, I was a lot more patient than when I started out, that the way God was teaching me patience was through those difficulties. Now, problems are not some kind of elective course that you have a choice to take in life. No, they're required. You can't opt out of them. In order to graduate from the school of life, you're going to go through the school of hard knocks. You're going to go through problems. They are inevitable. That's what the Bible says. Second thing the Bible says about problems is this. Problems are variable. That means they're not all the same. You don't get the same problem one after another. You get a lot of different ones. Not only do you get them, but you get different ones. He says, when you have problems of all kinds, you might circle that if you're taking notes, when all kinds of trials come into your life. You know, I'm a gardener, and I once did a study, and I discovered that the government here in the United States has classified 205 different kinds of weeds. I think 80% of them grow in my garden. I often think that when I'm growing vegetables, I should charge admission to Warren's Weed Farm. But there are many kinds of weeds, and there are many kinds of trials. There are many kinds of problems. They come in all sizes. They come in all shapes. There are more than 31 flavors. This word here, all kinds, where it says there are all kinds of trials in your life, it actually, in the Greek, means multicolored. In other words, there are a lot of shades of stress in your life. Would you agree with that? There are a lot of shades of stress. They don't all look the same. There's financial stress, there's relational stress, there's health stress, there's physical stress, there's time stress. He's saying that they're all different colors. But if you go out and you buy a car and you want a custom color, then you have to wait for it. And then when it's made, then you get your custom color. That's actually the word that's used here. It's a custom color. Multicolored trials in your life. God allows them for a reason. Some of your problems are actually custom made. Some of them we just all experienced together, like this one, COVID-19. But he's saying problems are variable. And what I mean by that is they vary in intensity. In other words, how hard they come. They vary in frequency, and that is how long. We don't know how long it's going to last. We don't know how hard it's going to get. I saw a sign the other day that said, into every life, some rain must fall. But this is ridiculous. And I think that's the way a lot of people are feeling right now. This is ridiculous. Problems are inevitable and they are variable. The third thing James says, so we're not shocked, is problems are unpredictable. They're unpredictable. He says, when trials crowd into your life, you're taking notes, circle that phrase. They crowd into your life. See, no problem ever comes when you need it or when you don't need it. It just comes when it wants to come. That's part of the reason it's a problem. Problems come at the most inopportune time. Have you ever felt like a problem came in your life? You go, not now. Really? Like now? Here at Saddleback Church, we were in a major campaign dreaming about the future. And all of a sudden, the coronavirus hits. And I'm going, not now. not now. You know, have you ever had a flat tire when you were late? You know, it doesn't. You don't get a flat tire when you got plenty of time. You're in a hurry to go somewhere. You know, it's like the baby wets, you know, on your new dress as you're walking out for an important, you know, evening engagement. Or you split your pants before you speak. That actually happened to me one time on a Sunday a long time ago. Some people, you know, they're so impatient, they can't wait for a revolving door. They've just got to, They've got to do it now. I remember many years ago, I was in Japan, and I was standing at a subway waiting for the subway to arrive. And when it opened, the doors opened, and a young Japanese man immediately projectile vomited on me as I was standing there. And I thought, why me? Why now? They are unpredictable. They come when you don't need them. You can seldom predict the problems in your life. Now notice it says, when all kinds of trials, when they're inevitable, all kinds, they're variable, crowd into your life, that's they're unpredictable. He says, don't resent them as intruders. What is he saying here? Well, I'm going to explain this more in detail, but here's the fourth thing the Bible says about problems. Problems are purposeful. Problems are purposeful. God has a purpose in everything. Even the bad things that happen in our life, God can bring good out of them. God doesn't have to cause every problem. Most of the problems we cause ourselves. People say, why do people get sick? Well, one reason is we don't do what God tells us to do. If we ate what God tells us to eat, if we slept like God tells us to get rest, if we exercise as God tells us to exercise, if we didn't allow negative emotions into our lives like God tells, if we obeyed God, we wouldn't have most of our problems. Studies have shown that about 80% of the health problems in this country, in America, are caused by what are called chronic lifestyle choices. In other words, we just don't do the right thing. We don't do the healthy thing. We often do the self-destructive thing. But what he's saying is here, problems are purposeful. He says, when you encounter problems, realize they come to produce. Circle that phrase. They come to produce. Problems can be productive. Now, they're not automatically productive. This COVID virus, if I don't respond in the right day, it won't produce anything great in my life. But if I respond in the right way, even the most negative things in my life can produce growth and benefit and blessing in your life and in my life. They come to produce. He's saying here that suffering and stress and sorrow, yes, and even sickness can accomplish something of value if we let it. It's all in our choice. It's all in our attitude. That God uses the difficulties in our lives. You say, well, how does he do that? How does God use difficulties and problems in our lives? Well, thanks for asking, because the next passage or the next part of the verses say that God uses them three ways. Three ways. God uses problems in your life three ways. First, problems test my faith. Now, your faith is like a muscle. A muscle can't be strengthened unless it's tested, unless it's stretched, unless it's put under pressure. You don't develop strong muscles by doing nothing. You develop strong muscles by stretching them and strengthening them and testing them and pushing them to the limit. So he's saying, problems come to test my faith. He says, realize that they come to test your faith. Now, that word testing right there, that is a term in the Bible times that was used for refining metals. And what you would do is you take a precious metal like silver or gold or something else, and you would put it in a big pot and you would heat it to extremely high temperatures. Why? In the high temperatures, all of the impurities are burned off. And the only thing that's left is the pure gold or the pure silver. That's the Greek word here for testing. It's the refining fire of when God puts the heat on and allows that in our lives, it burns off stuff that isn't important. Do you know what's going to happen in the next few weeks? Stuff that we all thought was really important, we're going to realize, I got along just fine without that. It's going to reorder our priorities because things are going to change. Now, the classic example of how problems test your faith are the stories of that are about Job in the Bible. There's a whole book about Job. You know, Job was the wealthiest man in the Bible, and in a single day, he lost everything. He lost all his family. He lost all his wealth. He lost all his friends. Terrorists attacked his family. He got a dreaded, very painful, chronic disease that could not be cured. Okay, he's terminal. And yet God was testing his faith. And God later restores him actually double what he had before he went through the big test. At one time I read a quote somewhere a long time ago that said, you know, people are like tea bags. You don't really know what's in them until you drop them in hot water. And then you can see what's really inside them. Have you ever had one of those hot water days? You ever had one of those hot water weeks or months? We're in a hot water situation right now. And what's going to come out of you is what's inside of you. It's like a toothpaste. If I have a toothpaste tube and I push it, what's going to come out? You say, well, toothpaste. No, not necessarily. It could say toothpaste on the outside, but it could have marinara sauce or peanut butter or mayonnaise on the inside. What's going to come out when it's pushed, put under pressure, is whatever's in it. And in the days ahead, as you deal with the COVID virus, what's going to come out of you is what's inside of you. And if you're filled with bitterness, that'll come out. And if you're filled with frustration, that'll come out. And if you're filled with anger or worry or guilt or shame or insecurity, that's going to come out. If you're filled with fear, that's whatever's inside of you is what's going to come out when the pressure is put on you. And that's what he's saying here, that problems test my faith.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. Now, if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today. But first, Pastor Rick is always reminding us about the importance of getting God's Word into our hearts. That's why he created a brand new version of the Daily Hope Scripture Box, and it's beautiful. The new Scripture Box is silver with the look and feel of leather, and there's an embossed Bible verse on top. It's designed to hold the Daily Hope full-color Bible verse cards that will help you memorize God's Word. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize Scripture. You say, I can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. The Bible says in Proverbs 7, verse 2, guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and keep them deep within your heart. To keep them deep in your heart, you have to remember them. That's why I've had my team create a beautiful Scripture box so you can practice memorizing the verses. It's a collection of spiritual tools that will help you keep God's word in you so you have it when you need it most. You know, when you're tempted, you rarely have a Bible by your side. And when you're witnessing to somebody who doesn't know Christ, or they're under stress, or they need comfort, or they're in a crisis, there's not usually a Bible hanging around. So you need God's Word in your mind so you can remember it. And then when you need them, the Holy Spirit can bring them back to mind. Now, the Holy Spirit can't bring up something you haven't put in your heart or in your mind. So store them in this beautiful box. It's a real pretty box that will make a great conversation piece. And by the way, this is a skill that you can learn. You say, I can't memorize anything. Oh, yes, you can. In fact, studies have shown that if you learn to memorize Scripture, your brain will actually get stronger and you will remember other things better as well. That's right. Imagine this. If you only memorized one verse a week. That's a good thing, okay? One verse a week. In 1 year, you will have memorized 52 verses from the Word of God, and you'll be so much stronger as a believer. So I hope you'll get this tool. We're doing it for you.
There are 52 new Bible verse cards included, which all feature brand new artwork and graphic designs. In fact, these cards are so beautiful, you can display them around your home. You can even frame them. This set of scripture cards is based on the series, The Invisible War. Rick picked out 52 Bible verses that will help you win the spiritual battles you face every day. Oh, and the scripture box? It makes a great gift, too. This practical spiritual growth tool is yours today when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Go to PastorRick.com to get this powerful resource, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 today. Again, that's PastorRick.com, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.